Pontius Pilate was a harsh man doing a harsh job. History tells us that he was appointed as the Roman governor for Judea in 26 AD. Normally the place that the Roman governor ruled from was Caesarea. But every year during the Jewish festival of Passover, the governor would head to Jerusalem in case there were riots. There were two main duties that went with his role. He was to make sure that all the taxes were collected and sent to Rome, and he was to keep order. The Jewish historians Josephus and Philo describe Pontius Pilate as a stubborn, inflexible, and cruel man who had no respect for the Jewish people. Because of his military background, he often used force when it wasn't necessary. And so 5, 6, 7 years into his rule, on one such Passover festival, Pilate finds himself early in the morning standing before Jesus. The Jewish religious authorities have brought Jesus to Pilate and make 3 accusations, all aimed at striking right at the heart of Rome. In verse 2 of that reading, Luke writes, "And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be Messiah, a king.'" These are 3 highly political charges. Firstly, Jesus is trying to lead the Jewish nation away from their submission to the Roman Empire. Secondly, Jesus is saying, "Stop paying your taxes." Thirdly, that he is proclaiming himself King of Israel. All 3 accusations were aimed at convincing Pilate of the seriousness of the situation and putting Jesus to death. So let's look at Pilate's interaction with Jesus and then think about what we can learn today. Pilate meets Jesus and gets it right. It seems that Pilate instantly dismisses the claims about turning the Jews from Rome and opposing taxes, and concentrates on the question of kingship. Verse 3, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews? You have said so," Jesus replied. The question of Pilate is brief. Pilate asks him whether he is king. Jesus replies with an answer that sounds more like a question. "You have said so." Jesus is gently asking Pilate his own question. "Is that what you think? Do you think I am the king?" That, by the way, is the central question of our lives. Who do you say Jesus is? How we answer that will decide how we treat Jesus. If we think he is a good man, he will get our respect. If we think he was a great teacher, he will get our attention. If we think he is the king of the universe, he will get our worship. Pilate doesn't respond to Jesus directly. Instead, he announces to the Jewish religious leaders that he considers Jesus innocent. This is going to be the constant theme throughout the account of his trial. The charges don't stand. Jesus is innocent of everything that is being said about him. We need to keep that in mind because the innocence of Jesus goes much deeper than these 3 false charges made against him. So Pilate meets Jesus and gets it right. This man is innocent. Next, Pilate tries to avoid a decision on Jesus. Look at how Jesus' accusers respond to Pilate in verse 5. They insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. It just so happens that a lot of Jesus' ministry, his healing of the sick, care for the poor, teaching about the kingdom of God, had taken place not in Pilate's region, but Herod's. Pilate seizes on this and tries to use the opportunity to avoid making a decision on Jesus. He sends him to Herod. As it happens, we're told this is really good news for Herod. He's been wanting to see Jesus, like someone wants to see a really good show in London. Herod hoped Jesus would do some amazing miracle. when Jesus simply stands before Herod in great humility. Herod and his soldiers respond with ridicule and mockery, dressing Jesus up in a robe that makes him look royal, even though in their eyes he clearly is not. So Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate, and verse 12 concludes, that day Herod and Pilate became friends before they had been enemies. It is striking that a friendship is formed between these two Roman officials as they use Jesus as some kind of political gift and football. Pilate using Jesus as a kind of political gift and toy. Herod using Jesus as some kind of circus act to be discarded when he doesn't perform. Those also are fairly common responses to Jesus. People toy with the idea of who he is. We think for a moment about Jesus, but then the thought is gone. Or we see if Jesus will do anything for us, perhaps an emergency prayer, and when nothing happens, we mock and move on. Pilate has tried to avoid a decision on Jesus, but it hasn't worked. And before he knows it, Jesus is standing in front of him again. And we see that Pilate meets Jesus again and gets it right again. Verse 13, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, the people, and said to them, "You brought this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and found no basis for your charges against him." This time there is an even greater representation of those in Judea. There are the religious leaders. There are ordinary people like you and me. There are the Roman authorities. It is as if the world is gathered around Jesus. And Pilate, for the second time, uses this phrase, "I have found no basis for your charges against him." Jesus has been brought to him by the Jews. He's been accused of rebellion. Pilate's legal examination of him finds no evidence whatsoever. All this points to the undeniable fact that Jesus should be released. That's where the evidence points. And that is what Pilate decides to do. Again, he has got his verdict about Jesus right. He wants to release him. Jesus is not even worthy of punishment. Probably Pilate only says, "Let's punish him," just to appease the Jewish leaders and the crowd. Look what happens next. Pilate encounters massive opposition as he tries to stand by his decision about Jesus. Verse 18, the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city, for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate's decision about Jesus is met with a furious reaction from the crowd. They want the Jewish teacher, with whom the Roman authorities can find no wrong, executed. And Barabbas, who is like a modern-day terrorist, who has caused an uprising in the city, a riot, and who has murdered, they want that man released. Barabbas did the very things that Jesus is being wrongly convicted for. The fact that Jesus will suffer in the place of Barabbas for the things that he did is a picture of what Jesus came to do for the world. How Jesus sets sinful captives free, like me and like you, by dying in their place. It's now that we see Pilate under intense pressure. He clearly wants to release Jesus. The crowd want him killed. Remember that one of the major roles that Pilate was meant to fulfill was keeping control of the people. So we hear the noisy crowd shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate would have been clearly concerned that the situation was developing into a riot. And so for the third time, he declares his verdict, Jesus is innocent. But now the innocence of Jesus is even more clearly stated. Pilate asks, "What crime has this man committed?" Three times the decision has been made. Twice the crowd have been told what will happen, that Jesus will be released. But look what ends up happening. Pilate gives up on Jesus. Gives into the crowd and gets it wrong. Verse 23, with the loud shouts, they incessantly demanded that he be crucified. and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. The people, the pressure, undoubtedly the desire to preserve himself and his role, all lead to Pilate giving in to the crowd. He'd had enough. And even though it was clearly unjust, Jesus was innocent. Pilate condemns him to death. Lets a guilty man go free. Luke, the author of the account, really wants us to see this as he repeats the reason that Barabbas has been thrown into prison. Now, Pilate's response to Jesus raises a number of questions about how we are reacting to Jesus this Good Friday. We should be very careful to look down on Pilate, being careful to be quick on looking down on him and judging his motives and decisions. Because Pilate's responses to Jesus portray how we naturally react to Jesus. How each one of us puts Jesus on that cross. We are influenced by the desire to fit in with those around us. This was clearly a part of Pilate's decision making about Jesus. The aggressive religious leaders, the mockery and ridicule of Herod, the opinion of the crowd, all pulled Pilate into making the decision he didn't even want to make. You know, that happens to us all the time. The opinions of certain family members, friendship circles, our workplaces, the media we read. And yet as we listen to the claims of Jesus, see the kinds of things he said and did, we know we have a different opinion of him, but we squash it. We run with the opinion of those around us. We don't stand out and suffer the consequences of following Christ. We are influenced by wanting to maintain personal relationships. Remember how Pilate seemed to find it politically useful to send Jesus to Herod? Like Pilate, we prioritize important relationships over Jesus Christ, our Savior. I remember a friend of mine in college who became really interested in the claims of Jesus, really interested, until she realized that following Jesus even came before your loyalties to your family. Jesus came before your family. And when she realized that, her interest in Jesus disappeared overnight. And it's easy for us to do the same. For the sake of the relationships that we have, we give up any interest in Jesus. We turn away from the claims of Jesus. We fail to give him the honor he deserves. And we too are influenced by our personal welfare. Remember the pressure on Pilate? He wanted to keep peace. He wanted to maintain good relationships with the Jews. He wanted to ensure that Roman rule was maintained. He wanted to keep his job. All this Pilate ended up viewing as more important than the Jesus who stood in front of him. More important than holding to the truth of Jesus' innocence. More important than considering who this remarkable person was who spoke and acted with the humble authority of a king, not just of Judea, but of the world. How many of us are tempted to rank our personal welfare over Jesus? If standing up for him, siding with Jesus, is going to make work difficult, times hard, we, like Pilate, can dismiss Jesus for the sake of a quieter life. Which reveals we are influenced also by the short term. It's so very easy in life to make decisions based on present circumstances. How will my decision affect me right now? What will I gain? What will I lose? Pilate couldn't see past the early morning annoyance, the shouting crowd, the religious leaders pressing him for a decision. It's actually very unnatural for us to think about the long term, not just a few years into the future, but with the whole of our lives before us. Who am I? What am I doing? How does what I decide now influence not just the rest of my life, but eternity? What we decide about Jesus here on this Good Friday as he heads to the cross doesn't just matter for Friday, the 19th of April, 2019. It has enormous implications for the whole of our lives and eternity. And then there's the influence of our conscience. One of the most sobering realities about Pilate is how he acts against his understanding of what is right. He knew Jesus was innocent. Three times he admits there's no charge against Jesus, which means three times he goes against his conscience. This is a deadly thing to do. Our consciences are given to us by God. It's the innate understanding, God-given, that we have of right and wrong. The Bible tells us that we know we have this God-given conscience, and yet we purposefully go against it, suppressing what we know about God. Here stands the innocent Jesus, not just before Pilate, but before you. How are you responding to him? His words of truth, his God-revealing life, his sacrificial death. Beware of deadening your conscience so that you hear about Jesus over and over and yet fail to respond to what you deep down know is true. Finally, we are influenced also by just wanting an easy time, not wanting things to be difficult, not wanting the pain of making tough decisions, preferring to live your life in a way that maximizes comfort and minimizes pain, perhaps resisting the reality and the humility to say, look, all along I've been wrong, and to bow the knee to Jesus. Pilate took the easy option. He gave in to the crowd, handed Jesus over to be killed. In that one decision, Pilate thought all his troubles would disappear. Friends, this Good Friday, here is an example of the kinds of ways that all of us by nature treat Jesus. We're all Pilate. How influenced he was by those around him, wanting to keep his friendships, his job, thinking only of the present, wanting an easy time, going against his conscience, is something all of us by nature do. All of us by nature think first of ourselves, our desires, wants, self-preservation, comfort. We reject the God who made us. And this is why Jesus Christ came to the earth, why he stands before Pilate. Jesus loves you, loves us so much that he came on the greatest rescue mission ever. Jesus perfectly resisted the pressure to conform to those around him and willingly did what his heavenly Father sent him to do. Yes, Jesus' first priority was to please his heavenly Father and to bear the short-term pain of rejection, humiliation, crucifixion and death, for the eternal joy of making forgiveness and peace with God possible for you and me. This Good Friday, we remember how the Lord Jesus purposefully went to the cross, submitted to the false charges of blasphemy, the verdict of Pilate, the demands of the crowd. The only man who has ever lived life in all goodness and beauty was meant, laid it down as a sacrifice, so that rebellious wanderers and self-centered sinners like you and me could find eternal life and escape the hell that we're all naturally destined for. And because Jesus was truly God as well as truly man, he had the infinite power in himself to take the sins of his people and the just punishment our sins deserve on himself and pay the price there on the cross, dying the death we deserve. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross, bearing, being a sin-bearing substitute, being a punishment-taking sacrifice, so that holy justice might be accomplished by a loving, merciful God. God the Father laying on his Son sins of the world, that whoever believes in Christ might find forgiveness and everlasting life. And amazingly, Jesus stands here now in all his crucified and risen power. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. And as Pilate was called to make a decision on Jesus, we are too. For every follower of Jesus here, we rejoice that Christ died for us. There is nothing good in us. We are no different from Pilate. His want for an easy, safe, accepted life. But Christ has called us to himself, and we know sin-cleansing, judgment-removing forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Praise God for that today and every day, believer. May we live each moment in the light of the cross of Jesus Christ. Life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross. Cherish it for the treasure that it is and live in the light of it in all that we say and do. May our only boast, may the theme of our lives, may our power and wisdom be this day, every day, the cross of Jesus Christ. May it be the witness of our lives and church. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. And if you are someone here this morning who doesn't follow Jesus Christ, then please turn and trust in him today. Don't decide against following Jesus because it's easy or for the sake of a job or family. Don't go against your conscience. Let go of your pride. You have often listened to the good news of Jesus preached here, maybe, and have seen the difference that knowing Jesus makes in the lives of those around you. Do not delay. Turn, repent, trust in Jesus Christ.